Hi, and welcome to this introduction to the Orbit Writer, smartphone and desktop companion Braille input keyboard, otherwise just referred to as the Orbit Writer. And in this demo, I'm going to take you through quite a lot of things to do with the Orbit Writer. Keep in mind, this is just an intro demo, and I'm only going to demonstrate it with the iPhone in this demo, but I will do other demos on Android, the Mac and Windows as well. So what I'm first going to start off with is giving you some identification information, and then we'll get into what's in the box, features, etc., etc. All right, so let's kick off. So product name is the Orbit Writer. Manufacturer is Orbit Research. The website for more information, of course, is orbitresearch.com. If you'd like to email Orbit Research for more information, the email address is quite simple. It's just information@orbitresearch.com. That's information@orbitresearch.com. A brief product description of the actual unit is a Perkins-style Braille input keyboard. So 6 Braille keys plus a space bar and then dots 7 and 8 to the left and right of the space bar. A cursor pad, so up, down, left and right with a select key in the middle. At the front edge of the unit, you've just got a spot for a lanyard to connect to. On the left-hand side, you've got a USB port, of course, to charge and or update the actual firmware in the Orbit Writer. And it does have haptic feedback for settings and standard operations with either your iOS, Mac and other devices. And finally, of course, the Orbit Writer supports up to 5 Bluetooth devices and 1 USB device. And with the haptic feedback, you can change that strength. You can change the timeout of the keyboard. And you can also check your battery strength on the unit as well. So it's actually quite a flexible little unit. Just on a tip for people that have already got the Orbit Reader 20, which is the 20-cell Braille display note taker from Orbit Research. If you know the layout of that keyboard, then you know the layout of the Orbit Writer. So at the top face towards the back, you've got 6 Braille keys, 1, 2, 3 on the left, 4, 5, 6 on the right. And then just below dot 1 and dot 4, you have the cursor pad with triangular shaped buttons in a circle, which are up, down, left and right. And each edge of those cursor buttons have a tactile marker on them. And then you've got a raised select key in the middle. And then below the cursor pad, right in the middle, you've got the space bar or a space bar. And then to the left of that, you've got dot 7. And to the right of that, you've got dot 8. And then as I just previously said, you've also got at the front edge of the unit a hole that you, or two holes actually, that you can thread a lanyard through to attach it to a neck strap to wear it around your neck. And then on the left hand side, round about in the middle, probably slightly towards the back of the unit, you've got a micro USB port, of course, to charge, as I said, and or update the firmware in the Orbit Writer itself. If I turn it upside down, I've got 4 rubber feet, one at each corner, and that's basically it. It's extremely light, this thing, when you just hold it in your hand. Just to reaffirm, this is a Braille input keyboard. It's not a unit with a refreshable Braille display. It's purely for keyboard entry of Braille input. The documentation for the Orbit Writer is extremely well written. I know I had Hamish McKenzie on my Talking Tech radio program as I go to air this week on this podcast. Talked about how well he found the documentation, and it is very well written. You can find almost anything you like, particularly because the documentation not only comes in HTML format, which is what I use all the time, it also comes in a doc format, BRF, and a PDF file. But the HTML version is absolutely brilliant, of course, because it's got all headings arranged so you can quickly jump through things by navigating by heading. And that's available on the Orbit Writer page via the orbitresearch.com website, but I'll put the direct link in the show notes for that documentation part of the website. But again, extremely well written. Now, I did mention before that the orbit writer is extremely light, so here are the dimensions. It's 16 centimeters by 6.5 centimeters and 0.8 centimeters. And so it's actually quite a thin keyboard, and the Orbit Writer quite easily fits in your pocket, a purse, and so on. What I'd also advise you to get, and I'll mention this again at the end of the podcast, but you can also get a carrying case for the Orbit Writer, whether a standard one or in leather, just to protect the keys and the port on the, as in the USB micro USB port. Because I don't know, at the moment it feels quite rugged, but when you keep shoving stuff, particularly in your pocket or your purse or your bag, you do have sort of movable keys that could get, you know, pushed a little bit. So if you're going to be using this a lot, which is what I've done already, then I would suggest you get a case with the actual Orbit Writer as well. Oh, sorry, and I forgot to give you the weight, didn't I? I just said it was extremely light. The weight of the Orbit Writer is actually 90 grams, of course, quite light. All right, in the physical box of the Orbit Writer, you, of course, get the Orbit Writer itself. You get a micro USB cable. You don't get an adapter with that, just a micro USB cable. And you also get a getting started guide in print and braille. And what it basically really says is to get to the documentation, go to the orbitresearch.com website and read the documentation, of course, in your preferred format. So overall, let me go through some of the main features that you'll get out of the Orbit Writer. Now, I've mentioned these sort of briefly in a way already, but we'll just go through them again. Works with smartphones and computers out of the box. Lightweight and compact design to fit in the pocket or purse. Quiet operation with positive tactile feedback, i.e. when you press the buttons, i.e. the cursor pad or the braille input key buttons, including the spacebar. Perkin-style keyboard with cursor pad. Replaces need to use touch screen on mobile devices, i.e. iPhone, Android, Samsung, and of course even your desktop operating systems, such as a Windows Surface Pro. Fast charging, less than 2 hours, and operation up to 3 days of use on a single battery charge, which is extremely handy. You can check the battery strength on the go whenever you like to. Supports up to 5 Bluetooth and 1 USB device. And I should say here that you can switch those devices in between screen reader mode, which is what the default is, and what's called HID or human interface device mode, which is basically using the Orbit Writer as if it was a standard input keyboard into whatever device you're using, mobile or desktop. But by default, it's acting in conjunction with a screen reader, i.e. voiceover, talkback, voice assistant, and, you know, with talkback and voice assistance, it's via the Braille TTY. And then, of course, the functionality with voiceover, NVDA, JAWS, and Supernova is also available, including Narrator as well, of course. You can adjust the strength of the haptic feedback you get for both settings and operational features, which is quite good, particularly if you're on a recording and you don't want the sound of the Orbit Writer's feedback coming through the microphone. That's quite handy. You can adjust the auto shutdown time, which again is extremely handy. So you can again extend the length of the usage without having to recharge the unit. As I've already said, there's an attachment point for a lanyard at the front to hang it around your neck on, funnily enough, a lanyard, and support for all languages on phone or tablets. Let me move on to battery and charging. So as I've already said, you've got 3 days of operation on a single charge. Fully charges under 2 hours. You can charge off a standard USB adapter. I've got PowerPoints here in the toy room slash lab, otherwise really called the toy room. So I've got wall sockets with USB ports in them. Or you can charge off a computer, whether it's a Mac or Windows computer, of course, or another machine with a USB port. And of course, when it's on a Windows computer, that's what you also use to update the firmware in the Orbit Writer, which I'll do in another demo podcast. Let's start to play with this thing as we keep talking now. So let me just grab my Orbit Writer here. I'm just going to show what it sounds like when you turn the unit on. So I'm going to press up and down together on the cursor pad. So one Mississippi, Okay, now it's on. And now I'm going to hold up and down again. And now it's off. Okay, so it's one vibration for on and a long vibration for off. Let me just do it again. I'm holding down, up and down. And released. So now the unit's on. And if I hold up and down again and release, now the unit's off. And I'll get on to this in a minute, but if I had this plugged into power, when the unit turns off, rather than giving me that long vibration, it'll give me notifications of the current battery strength, which I can also check for you in a minute. But that's also available when you turn the unit off, rather than having to give a command to check the battery strength. You can actually use the Orbit Rider while it is charging. So if I've got it plugged into your USB charging unit, I can actually have it and I can actually use it at the same time, which is fantastic. When the unit gets down to 20% charge, it gives 3 short pulses every 3 minutes to remind you that you actually need to plug it into charge. And when it gets down to critical, it'll automatically shut down. So it'll do the one short vibration when you turn it on, and then go, nah, no battery available here, and turn itself off automatically. So you really do need to charge it. When it starts getting down to that 20%, 3 pulses every 3 minutes, then you really do need to just plug it in to charge it. Okay, so to confirm battery charge, let me turn my unit back on. So up and down together, and release, so short pulse. I'm going to press the space key and hold down the up arrow key until it vibrates. And I got 3 vibrations, which tells me that the unit's between 40 and 60%. So these pulses, we'll start from number 1. So one short pulse is if battery's between 0 and 20%. 2 short pulses if battery's between 20 and 40%. 3 short pulses, I've just said, if battery's between 40 and 60%. 4 short pulses if battery's between 60 and 80%. And then a long pulse if battery's greater than 80%, between 80% and 100%, that's a long vibration. So if I turn the unit off with up and down, and I've just released it, we got a long pulse. All right, so if I grab the power that I've got plugged into my Mac at the moment, USB, micro USB cable, plug it into my Orbit Rider. Okay, so you just had the vibration, so it's basically getting power into the unit. Now, by the way, even though it's vibrated, I should mention this, even though it's vibrated, the unit's actually not on. It's just telling me that it's getting power to the unit. Okay, so now if I pull the power out, I should get 3 pulses, or maybe even 4, if it's gone between 60 and 80%. So let me pull the power out on the side. Yep, 4 pulses. So it's moved from 40 to 60% with 3 pulses to between 60 and 80%. So if I plug the power back in again, okay, pull it out again. There we go. So let me just show you what happens when I just turn the unit on and off normally with the power plugged in. So I'm going to plug the power in again. Now I'm going to turn the unit on with up and down, held down. Okay, so now the unit's on, all right? Now if I turn the unit off, holding it up and down together, okay, I get a long vibration to tell me the unit's off. Okay, and that's with the power still plugged in. So just keep in mind that the power state of when you plug the power in and take it out is in some ways independent of turning the unit on and off via the up down arrows held down together. So I've already mentioned the fact that you can adjust the automatic shutdown timer. So I'm going to turn the unit back on again with up and down, held down together. If I press space bar and press the left arrow and release, it gives me 2 short pulses. So that tells me that the unit is in the default standby mode, which is 10 minutes. If I want to change that, I can hold down space, left arrow. That's 3 pulses. So that means my automatic shutdown for the Orbit Rider is now set at 20 minutes. And if I do it again, space bar and left arrow, and then release, that's 4 pulses, will shut down after 30 minutes. And if I do it one more time, space and left arrow, held down together, and now release. One single pulse is standby 5 minutes. Space and left arrow, and release, and that's back to 10 minutes. And then now if I just want to check, I'd use space and left arrow without holding it down, release, and it tells me what the current setting is. Let's do tips for Orbit Rider initial operation. As I've already mentioned, pair the unit to 5 Bluetooth and 1 USB device. And these are referred to as channels. So you've got channel 1, 2, and 3, which actually goes with the Braille keys on the keyboard, 1, 2, and 3, and channel 4, 5, and 6, which goes with the Braille keys on the right. The default channel when you turn this unit on, funnily enough, is going to be channel 1. But if you wanted to change to a different channel, then it's basically this sequence: spacebar plus left arrow and then plus channel number for 1, 2, and 3, and then spacebar plus right arrow and then channel 4, 5, and 6. If I do space, left arrow, and then press 1, that gave me 3 short pulses for channel 1, which tells me that I've got nothing connected in channel 1 because I just wiped them out before this demo. If I'd had a previous device already synced up to channel 1, if you like, or paired to channel 1, then it would actually vibrate twice to let me know that something's there. So if I want to switch to channel 2, I do space, left arrow, and 2. And again, 3 long pulses because nothing's paired to channel 2. And you guessed it, space, left, and 3. Okay, so that's channel 3. And now we go to the right-hand side of the keyboard, so space, right arrow, and 4. Okay, channel 4. Channel 5, space, left arrow, and 5. And channel 6, which is USB, space, left, and 6. Now, it only did that twice because, as I said, the 6 channel is a dedicated USB device channel. So there's nothing about pairing to do with that channel. All right, so that's just how to switch between the different devices. If you want to pair a channel, so if I do space, left arrow, and hold down 1, it's just vibrated once, which means I've now put channel 1 in pairing mode. All right, if I hold down space, left arrow, and 2, I've just put channel 2 in pairing mode. So the trick here is to be careful between your space, left arrow, 1, 2, 3, or space, right, 4, and 5 channels. Because if you hold it down too long, where it vibrates once, it's put that channel in pairing mode, which means you've just lost your previous paired device, if you've got one, for that particular channel. So let's pair it to my iPhone to get us just started. So I'm going to turn the unit off from scratch again. So I'll turn it off now. I'm going to turn it back on again. All right, so I'm going to put it in pairing mode. I'm going to do space, left arrow, and hold down 1. And by the way, I've still got it plugged in via USB as well, just to keep it charging for the moment. I'll take it out in a minute. I'm going to grab my iPhone and let me open up VoiceOver settings. So open VoiceOver settings.
Here are the VoiceOver settings. In speaking rate.
So let me just flick down to Braille.
Speech, Braille. Button.
And one finger double tap on Braille.
Output. 8 dot.
So we jump down the bottom of the screen with 4 finger touch at the bottom.
Orbit reader. 2003.
There's the orbit writer all ready to pair. And that last number you heard it started to read, that's the current serial number of my orbit writer. So if I now double tap on it.
Orbit reader. 2 0. Braille tables. 1.
Okay, it's actually now paired. So if I come back to my orbit writer and I press cursor right.
Status cells. Button. Braille tables. 1. Button.
So that's pressing left arrow. If I press right arrow.
Status cells. Button. Equations use Nemeth code. Off. Show on screen keyboard. On.
I'm just pressing cursor right at the moment.
On. Word wrap. On. Alert display duration. 3S. Ignore chord duration. 0.5S.
And so on. So left and right works fine. If I do a, I'll go through these commands in a minute. If I do a home command, which is space and H, of course.
Music, widget, stack, ABC Radio Sydney.
It's gone back to my widget weather, stack because I've currently got running it on iOS 14 beta at the moment. It said if you know how to use a Braille display with a Braille input keyboard, such things like the Orbit Reader 20, for example, or other Braille devices such as what I use, the Braille Edge, then you've basically got an idea of how to use the Orbit Writer straight away. There are some extra commands to do with the cursor keypad for the Orbit Writer, but basically, if you know how to use a Braille input keyboard with other devices, then you've got a really good idea on how to use the Orbit Writer with the spacebar and chord commands, because basically they use the same chord command set. So simply to get started, you can do space and one to flick left. Or to move to the previous item, you can do space and four to flick right or move to the next item. And you can do space and three and six to perform action or a one finger double tap. And that's what basically the left and right arrow does. And in the middle, the select key is your perform action command. So that's the one finger double tap function using the cursor pad. And of course, up and down, I'll get into this in a minute or two. Up and down will actually move or action your current rotor item. So if I was to turn the orbit rotor off now and turn it back on again, because I previously have it already connected on channel one, so that's space, left, and number one, then it's going to reconnect automatically. So it'll give two pulses basically when it reconnects. If it doesn't reconnect, which sometimes happens with Bluetooth devices, you can always lock and unlock your iOS device and see if that actually reconnects the Bluetooth device, or you can force a connection by simply going back into accessibility, voiceover, and braille, and of course double tapping to force a connection with the Orbit Writer XXX for your serial number. If I change my channel on my Orbit Writer, so if I do space, left, and two, it always does that. That was it recognizing that I'm doing something with the Orbit Writer. So it's now on channel two. So if I press left and right, nothing's happening. But I know now that my channel one is set to the Orbit Writer. Channel two is still got nothing on it. So let me just show you this. So if I now press space, left and one.
ABC Radio Sydney.
Okay, it just gives one long vibration because it's already connected. So if I now press left and right, the cursor pad.
Messages, music, messages, Safari,
phone. Okay. All right, so let me just turn the Orbit Writer off. So I'm going to do up and down. So I just want to show you something. So you heard the blump sound out of my iPhone. Long vibration means it's off. I'm going to turn it back on again. All right, so before it reconnects, I'm going to quickly do space, left, and two. So three long pulses for channel two, which means there's nothing connected there yet. So space, left, and one. And that's only two pulses, which means I've got a device that's been previously paired to channel one. And if I wait long enough, sometimes it takes up to 10 seconds, it'll pair. Now, I'm not sure in this particular demo at the moment, but with iOS beta 14, sometimes the reconnection doesn't happen straight away. So if I press left and right now, okay, it hasn't reconnected. So what I'm going to do, let's just try what I just said. I'm going to lock my phone. I'm going to unlock it. And there we go. So you heard the Orbit Writer vibrate twice. So now if I grab my Orbit Writer, put my phone down, and then press right arrow.
Safari, messages, music, messages, Safari, phone, okay. Find new items.
It's reconnected again, so I didn't actually have to go into accessibility, voiceover, braille, and manually try and reconnect the Orbit Writer. It did it straight away. Now, before I get onto the basic voiceover commands, okay, so if I do space and left arrow, okay, it's just told me the current setting for the auto shutdown, which is 10 minutes. Now, if I do it again,
page 1 of 15, adjustable.
What it's also started to do, it's taking it as if I'm pressing the cursor key normally without the space bar in it. So it's actually moving the cursor, which can get a bit confusing if you also want to change the vibration intensity, because that's actually space and right arrow, which we haven't covered yet. So if I do space and right arrow once. That's moving the cursor to the right, but it's also told me the current strength of the vibration, which is 2, which is medium. All right, so what I've normally find is to adjust the settings. I normally put the Orbit Writer on a non-active channel, so I'm going to do that now. So I'm going to do space, shift, and 2 for channel 2, because nothing's active. And if I press my left and right arrow keys, nothing's going to happen. So now I can cleanly change my auto shutdown or my vibration intensity. So if I do space and left arrow, okay, that's 2 for my shutdown period, nice and clean. If I now do space and right arrow. That's two vibrations for medium. And of course, the same deal with space and left arrow for auto shutdown. It's hold down space and hold down right arrow for a second. Okay, and that's three very powerful vibrations. So that's high intensity for vibrations. If I hold down space and hold down right arrow for 1 second and then release, it's a very soft vibration. Okay, so let me do it again. I'm going to hold it very close to the mic and you can hear what the vibrations sound like. So I'm just going to do soft first. I'm just going to do space and right arrow, release it quickly. That was soft vibration, which is actually quite soft. It sounds loud because I'm holding it. It sounds loud because I'm holding it near the microphone. So space and hold down right arrow this time and then release. That's medium, which is by default. Then space and right arrow held down again. Release. That's quite loud vibration. So space and right arrow held down again. Release. That's soft. And then I'm going to put it back on medium again. So space and right arrow. Release. That's medium. And then of course I want to check the intensity level. Space and right and quickly release. And that's the medium intensity. I can check that. All right. So then I can just put it back on channel one.
Safari.
And I press my right arrow and there's Safari. It's ready to go again. So that's how I tend to do it. All right. So I said I'd get onto some basic voice over commands for you. And keep in mind, as I said earlier on in this podcast, I'm actually going to cover other stuff to do with Android, Windows, and Mac later. But they'll definitely be in separate podcasts, so you can choose what you want to listen to. So let's go for some basic voiceover commands. And again, if you know your Braille input keyboard on other Braille displays, I've already said you know how to do this. So top of screen is space 123.
Music widget stack. ABC
Radio now, Sydney. That's gone to my widget stack because I'm actually using iOS 14. So let me just come off that with the right arrow on the cursor pad.
FaceTime.
Bottom of screen is space 4, 5, and 6.
Music.
You go to the previous item, which I've already briefly mentioned. It's space and dot one.
Messages, Safari, phone, page one of wallet.
And by the way, what I'm doing here is I'm not releasing the space bar. I'm holding the space bar on pressing dot one. So I'll do that now. Space bar and dot one again.
Camera, photos, calendar, Monday, the 7th of September.
Okay,
FaceTime.
And to stop, I don't have as many items on my initial home screen here because I'm using iOS 14, so it's grouped all my other apps together at the end of all the screens. All right, so I'm going to do space and dot four, next item to the right or right flick, i.e. space and one was flicking to the left. So I'm going to hold down the space bar and I'm just going to keep pressing dot four. I'm not going to release the space bar.
Calendar, photos, camera, wallet, page one of 15, adjustable. Dog, Safari, messages, music.
Okay, and there we go. If I want to scroll to the next screen, scroll to the right. To get to the next screen to the right is spacebar and O, so dots 1, 3, and 5. If I do it at the moment with the voiceover cursor on the dock, and again, this might be an iOS 14 one, it's not going to move it, so I'm just going to cheat and touch the middle of my screen.
Wallet.
All right, so to scroll to the next screen, it's space and O, dots 1, 3, and 5.
Page 2 of 15. Page 3 of 15. Page 4 of 15. Belly, page 5 of 15.
Okay, and to scroll back, it's OW contraction, so space 2, 4, and 6.
Page 4 of 15. Page 3 of 15. Access
okay,
note.
And of course to go home, which I've already mentioned, it's space and H to go home, dots 1, 2, and 5 with the space bar.
Double tap to a home, music, widget, stack. ABC
and that's
Radio
back to my music
line,
widget stack weather, on my home screen because, again, I'm using iOS 14 beta as of this recording. All right, so to go to the app switcher, you press the home command twice. So that's space and H, dots 1, 2, and 5 twice.
App switcher, settings, active.
Okay, so that's Actions settings available. Where we just were a while ago. So I can either press left or right to go forward or back, or I can press space and dot one and space and dot four to go backwards and forwards. Now, this is something that I didn't mention before, but if you press down directly on the cursor pad, it doesn't want, the key doesn't want to move that action. It wants to move down and out as if you're pressing arrow keys or a paddle on like a controller. Because if I press down directly, have a listen to how hard this is. As this sounds.
Music. active.
Okay, that was me pressing left actions arrow. Available. I'm now going to press down and out.
Messages. Coffee link. Twitter.
Okay, active. You might not notice the difference actions audibly, available. But it definitely is different. I'm going to press down on the right arrow key directly down.
Coffee link.
Now active. I'm going to actually press down to the
actions
right.
Available. Messages. Music. Active.
Okay, even the actions feedback available. Sounds slightly different. Otherwise, you'll think the cursor pad's not working properly, which caught me out. And of course, to activate an item, I can either press select or do dots 3 and 6. So let me just check where I am. I'm just going to do left arrow.
Settings, active.
Yep, settings. And actions now I'm going to do space and 3 and 6.
Set, update Apple ID settings.
No, available. I don't. Okay, so I'm now going to press space and H to come back out. So the previous and next rotor option is space 5 and 6 to go clockwise, or space 2 and 3 to go counterclockwise. If I do that now on my rotor, I'm going to do space and dots 5 and 6.
Handwriting, characters, words, speaking rate, volume, audio ducking, punctuation, sounds, hints.
Okay, and I'm going to do space 2 and 3 to go back counterclockwise or anticlockwise.
Sounds, punctuation, audio ducking, volume, speaking rate.
Okay, so I'm currently on speaking rate. So to adjust the current rotor setting, if I press space and dot 6.
50%, 45%,
40%. Okay, it's going down. If I press space and dot 3.
45%, 50%, 55%, 60%.
Okay, it's going up. So let me just put it down a bit with space and dot 6. And of course, I can also use my up and down cursor arrow on the cursor pad in the middle between 1 and 4. So I press up arrow.
60%, 65%.
Press down.
60%, 55%.
Okay, that works beautifully. So, of course, if I rotate it around to character, so let me just keep going anti-clockwise, so space and 2 and 3.
Words, characters.
All right, so I'm going to go right character by character, and I think I'm on FaceTime. So if I do space and dot 6.
Tab F.
Yep, F,
A,
C, E. T-I-M-E. That's beautiful. And we can go back with space and 3. And then, of course, the trick I was also doing again was I kept holding down the space key while I was pressing 6 to go right or 3 to go left with using the current setting on the rotor, which was going character by character. So that's your rotor option. If I want to get to the status menu, it's space plus S, i.e. 2, 3, and 4.
Mobile. 2 of 4 bus.
And of course, I can just use space and 4 if I want. Item.
Telstra Wi-Fi call. Wood Eyes End, 1042. Orientation locked. Location tracking on.
And to go image. Back, space possibly. And dot 1.
Okay. Orientation, 1042. Wood Eyes End, Telstra Wi-Fi call.
And of course, I could have also used left and right arrow too if I wanted to. So I'm going to press home to go back to the home screen.
Home, maps, widget.
Okay, stack, which, there's back to my widget. All right, to get to the control center, it's pretty easy. It's space and middle C, so dots 2 and 5.
Favorites. Master bedroom David's electric blanket.
Okay, that's just master focusing on David's my home kit devices. If I go top of screen, so space 1, 2, and 3.
Airplane mode. Switch button.
And then I'm just going to use my right arrow this time.
At mobile dot, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, show media, iPhone,
track and then position, left 0 arrow.
Seconds, off, iPhone, roots of it, Bluetooth, orbit reader.
Okay, and two, come zero, out of zero, that mode. Three,
four. Maps, widget, stack, image.
And to get to the control center, it's not N, in case you were wondering. It's space and dot 4 and 6.
Notification center, iPhone, ABC Radio Sydney.
Okay, and that's fine into the notification center. If I go top of screen, so space 1, 2, and 3.
1044.
And then use my right arrow.
Monday, the notification center, clear. Outlook, 33 minutes ago.
And so on and so on. So space and H again.
Maps.
Okay, so that's how to get into your control center and notifications area. My favorite command out of all my voiceover commands is the magic two-finger double tap to start and stop audio, and of course to also answer and hang up a phone call. And that is space and 1, 5, and 6. So if I do that now, that's ABC Radio playing here in Sydney. And do it again. I've stopped it. So again, on, off. Another really handy command that I always use, even on my normal QWERTY keyboard and my Braille Edge keyboard, including this one now and my Orbit Ready 20, is the find command. So, of course, that's space in F.
Enter search text.
And I can just type in phone.
P-H-O-N-E. Dog. Phone. Five new items.
Okay, and there's phone. And by the way, I did space and E for enter for that one. So that was space and E, which is dots 1 and 5. Let me just select the phone app.
Not selected or button 1 of 2.
Let me just down at the bottom with space 4, 5 and 6.
Voicemail. 5 items.
And I'm going to do, I'm not going to use my cursor because I'm just going to do space and dot 1 to go to the left.
Keypad. Tab.
Okay, and space and 3 and 6 to select.
Phone number. Text field.
All right, so because what happens now is I want to show you that I can actually make a phone call using the actual Braille keyboard. So if I do space and question mark, so that's space and dot 2, 3 and 6.
Braille input contracted.
I'm changing my Braille input keyboard, okay? So this is the keys that I'm going to be pressing on the actual keyboard to interact with, my, in this case, my iOS device. So space and 2, 3, 6 again.
Braille input 6 dot.
So Braille input 6 dot.
Braille input 8 dot.
Braille input 8 dot. So I'm actually going to type now the phone number for my banking system. So I'm going to type in 1.
1.
And you can actually hear it typing now.
Text field 3, 6.
Okay, and if I just jump down the bottom of my screen
tab bar, voicemail,
and go back, okay, and there's my call button. Excuse my other phone talking in the background. So space 3 and 6.
Welcome to IMB Direct. You have 7 options. For telephone banking, press 1. For home loans and reverse mortgages, press 2. For personal loans and credit cards, press 3.
Okay, now because I'm still in computer Braille mode, I can press 1, which is dot 2.
And branch locations. Thank you for selecting telephone banking. Please ensure you enter your details slowly to allow us to assist you via this service. Welcome to IMB's member access line. For automatic account balances, transactions and transfers between accounts, and to use our BPAY facility, please press 1. Or to activate your IMB
okay, and
card,
I can put in number 1 for account details, so I'm going to press 1 again, dot 2.
Please enter your account number, followed by the hash key.
Okay, so I'm going to put my account number in, and I'm going to actually pause the recording while I'm doing this. And then hash is number sign, 3, 4, 5 and 6.
Code,
and I'm going to put in my password at the beginning of it, and then hash symbol again.
The current status of your account is as follows.
And I'm going to pause the recording right
your
there.
First, everyday account balance is... To hear your account balance again, please press 1.
And, of course, if I now want to hang up, I can now press 2. Space and 1, 5 and 6. So if I do that now,
maps, widget, stack,
and I've just hung up. And that's gone back to the widget option on my iOS 14 home screen. Let me just do space and 4 to go back to FaceTime. There we go. And if I want to put myself back in normal computer Braille, space 2, 3 and 6.
Braille input contracted.
And I'm ready to go again. I normally leave myself in computer Braille. So let me just go back.
Braille input 6 dot. Braille input 8 dot.
Okay. Now, what I've done also with my settings with the Orbit Rider, remember you can actually now add in custom keyboard commands for VoiceOver. So I've got a custom keyboard here, which is my ER contraction, which is dots 1, 2, 4, 5, and 6 with the spacebar. And that's going to actually launch Siri for me so I can open up notes so I can type in using the Braille keyboard. So I'm going to do that now. Space 4, 5, and 6. Open notes. And I'm going to go to the bottom of the screen with space 4, 5, and 6.
Toolbar. New note. Button.
There we go. New note. And I'm going to press select this time rather than pressing space 3 and 6.
Note. Text field. Is editing. Character mode. Insertion point at start.
And that's going to take the power out because it's getting a bit fiddly here. There we go. That was me taking the power out. So let me type in the
THE space
quick
QUICK space
quick
BROWN space brown if O
fox
if space fox
jumps
JUMPS space jumps OVER space over
the
THE space the LAZY space
and then dog
DOG
and then full stop
dots 4 6.
All right, and space.
Space.
All right, so let us do space 5 and 6 for our rotor.
Handwriting, words.
Okay, and now I can do space, and I can even do dots 2 and 3 to go back to the left, space 5 and 6 to go to the right, or up arrow to go back to the left using the cursor pad.
Dot full stop, lazy, the, over, jumps, fox, brown, quick, the.
Okay, and then I'm going to press down arrow.
The quig, brown, fox, jumps, over, the lazy, dog, full stop.
So let me do a one finger double tap. I'm just going to press select rather than doing space 3 and 6.
Insertion point at start.
Now I'm at the start of the file or what I've just typed in. So I'm going to change the rotor around to character. So I'm going to do space 2 and 3.
Handwriting, characters.
Okay, and now I'm going to do down arrow.
T. H. Space Q U I C K space B R O W N space F O X space.
Okay, that was me pressing down. I'm going to press up right now.
Space X O F space N W O R B space K C.
Okay, and if I wanted to do it by the keyboard, it's space and 6, and I'm going to hold down the space key and just keep pressing 6.
C K space B.
O W N
F O X Fox J U M P S O V E
over
space T H
the
E space L A Z Y space D O G.
Now, what I've noticed sometimes is that the buffering tends to slow down a little bit. So what I tend to do then, for example, now if I switch back to word mode, so I'm going to do space 5 and 6.
Handwriting, words.
And just go back up.
Two. Lazy, lazy.
And then I was on dog, so I'm going to do space and 2 and 3.
Handwriting, characters.
And now do space and 6.
Space, D, O, G, full stop.
Okay, and I can tell the buffering's clear again. So that may happen occasionally. As new firmware comes out, the text entry has been noted as a bit of an issue, but it definitely is getting better and better. And finally, let me just show you what this is like to read on a web page. So I'm going to go to my home page and let me go.
Camera, wallet.
Okay, and I'm going to go down the bottom, space and 1.
Page, wallet. Page 1 of 15.
Okay, now this is a scroll area, so I can do up arrow in this case.
Page 2 of 5, page 3 of page 4 of page 5, page 6 of page 7, page 8 of 15, page 9 of 5, page 10 of 5, page 11 of 5, page 12 of 15, page 13, page 14 of 15, page 15 of 15.
So I'm just going to do left arrow to come back off that.
VA cast, IC.
And I'm going to bring up my podcast IC, which is my normal podcast that this demo is going to be on. So I'm going to press select on the cursor pad.
Is editing. Link. Bookmark.
And top of screen, space 1, 2, and 3.
Link. Image.
I'm going to cycle image, around, space 5 and 6 to headings.
Lock, characters, words, lines, text selection, speaking, volume, audio, duck, punctuation, sounds, hints, language, activities, braille screen, containers, headings.
Okay, and I can go up and down heading by heading now with space and dot 6 to go down.
How to adjust tactic time speed on your Apple Watch. Heading level 2. Ling, a run-through of the iPad Pro 11-inch, magic keyboard with trackpad, and voiceover. Heading level 2. Ling, why I keep using the Mac / Apple stuff rather than Windows / other stuff smile. Heading level 2. Ling. Demo and discussion of the Arcan HD8RV29 kitchen desktop smartphone stand. Heading level 2. Ling, demo of the double or triple back tap function in iOS 14 as a beta 3.
Okay, and heading if I want to go two. Back, I can do space and 3.
Demo and discussion of the Arcan HD8 RV29 kitchen desk. Why I keep using the Mac/Apple stuff rather than Windows/other stuff.
Okay, and of course I can also use just the normal up and down arrow on the cursor pad. So if I do down arrow.
Demo and discussion of the Arcan HD8 RV20. Demo of the double or triple back tap function in
iOS 14. Or go back up arrow. Going by headings, of course. Demo and discussion of the Arcan HD8 RV20. Why I keep using the Mac/Apple stuff rather than Windows/other stuff. And then if I want to read line by line, I can just do space and dot 4.
The reason why I use Apple products is that it is all well integrated with everything that I use, for both home and work, the Mac, the Apple Watch, the Apple TV, the iPad, the iPod Touch, and of course the iPhone. I have been using a Mac now for 15 years and iOS for 11 years.
Okay, or of course I could just use normal right arrow.
One thing that has always stood out for me with the Mac is that as a person who is blind, I can completely troubleshoot or reinstall the OS completely independently without sighted assistance.
Okay, and there we go. So navigating with this keyboard is absolutely amazing. I absolutely love it. All right, so space and H to go home.
I see.
And I landed back on the IC hyperlink that I've got a shortcut to on my home screen. So I'm still on page 15. So I'm going to do space and H again for home.
Home. Siri suggestions. Widget. Stack.
And I'm on Siri suggestions since I just left Siri. So I'm going to do right arrow to go back to FaceTime calendar on my normal home screen. So by the way, I probably didn't mention this at the beginning, but screen reader wise, the system will actually work with VoiceOver on iOS devices, including the Apple Watch, and I'm pretty sure the Apple TV, but I'll check that in another demo. VoiceOver on the Mac. And then, of course, on Android, it's TalkBack, or on Samsung, it's Voice Assistant via the Braille TTY. Then, of course, you've got support in Windows for NVDA, JAWS, Supernova, and Narrator. And then you've also got support on Fire OS, ChromeVox, and Linux. So there we go. I think that will do me for this introductory demo. It seems to have been going for quite a while. I've been having basically too much fun using this keyboard. Price-wise, in US dollars, it's $99 US. I think that translates at the moment, at the exchange rate to Australia, to about $134 plus shipping. As I said earlier on, you can buy a case, which I do tend to recommend you do, and of course a case will set you back, I think for the basic case it's about $4 US, and I believe for the leather carrying case it's about $14 US. The word is here in Australia as I do this recording that Vision Australia will be getting the Orbit Writer into stock, so as soon as it happens I will let everyone know either via my Talking Tech show or another demo or on my Twitter feed at dwoodbridge. But in the meantime, as I always say, thank you for listening and bye for now.